Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is for April 2023. Welcome to tonight's program. Boy, we're going to make up a special guest in a minute, Dr. Renata Moon. I'll introduce you to you just a minute. It's going to be a very interesting broadcast. And, of course, we'll open up phone calls the last half hour, as always. You know that. Now, as I told you last night, I'm taking the night, will not be in the office this Thursday. Matter of fact, I'll be going tomorrow night. Summer Dre, Superior Mountain Herbs, will be filling in for me tomorrow night. And believe me, she's a wealth of information. Don't want to miss that. But I'll be back next Monday, Lord willing, on the air. But this Thursday, we'll be out of town. Try and take a few days off, if you don't mind. We really need to do that. We all need some time off once in a while. So the office will not be open on Thursday. You still call Lisa and give her orders, whatever, but the orders will not be filled till the following week. I want you all to know that. So bear with us as we take a little bit of time off, please. And prayer request tonight for Mick and Johnny, Mick from New Mexico and his wife Johnny, and a friend of theirs named Tom. Tom Harvey needs prayers. I won't get into all the details, but he needs your prayers. And I hope that you'll keep the people in prayer because they take it seriously. When they ask for prayers, that they know we actually pray for them. So please do that, okay, for a lot of reasons. We all need prayer. And I'm going to tell you, the reason we didn't have Bible study this past weekend was the winds were supposed to get up 60 to 70 miles an hour, which is unheard of on the mountaintop. But it wasn't safe to be on the road this past Saturday. Lord willing, we'll be back in church on the 15th. Then we'll do one more this month. They're only either on the 22nd or 29th, one or the other. But we're back on the 15th, Lord willing. But the roads were not safe. Trees were being blown down. Things were kind of nasty. Power was out in a lot of places. That's why we didn't have Bible study, folks. It just wasn't safe to cross a mountain. It's a two-hour drive northeast from here, and it's across some high mountains, so it wasn't safe to go. And don't forget, I'm going to have this product available for a long time in the future called Sugar to Fiber. If you're pre-diabetic or you tend to have high blood sugar, this is the first product ever invented, that will take sugar in the way of carbohydrates or any other kind of sugar and change it to fiber. 50 to 90% of what you eat in the way of anything, in the way of sugar or carbohydrates, will be changed to fiber, and they reduce the calories, actually, folks, from this sugar, from 50 to 90% also. So it works. It's working wonderfully for me. As most of y'all know, I'm a Vietnam-era vet, and my pancreas got fried with Agent Orange. Been diabetic for years. This product is the first one I've ever had that actually has cut my sugar levels by at least 50 points. And I'm dead serious. I would never lie to you and never intentionally tell you a falsehood. It's available, folks. It's $49.95 a bottle, but 10% off if you call and order through the ministry. Two bottles or more, 15% off. But I promise you it works, you get your money back. It's just that easy. You can call 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 the Word of the Bible and try it. There's a, I take two a day. I'm sorry, I take two before, twice a day before breakfast and supper. I take two about an hour or 2 hours before supper or breakfast and drink 8 ounces of water when I do that. And, folks, the product really does work. I take two a day. So, you know, there's 60 caps in the bottle. It would change a lot of things in your life that you just aren't going to believe, folks, to try it as far as your sugar levels go. So it's available. I'm holding my hand right now. It works very well, and I'm excited to offer it. Now, we're going to get to our guest. Dr. Renata Moon is a board-certified pediatrician who has cared for children for over 20 years. She's worked both in both clinic and hospital settings and has extensive experience with pediatric hospital medicine. Dr. Moon has taught countless medical students and residents of physicians throughout her career, most recently as a clinical associate professor of medicine. Her family legally, I like that word, listen, her family legally immigrated. Her family legally immigrated. It's almost unheard of nowadays. To the United States from a communist country, and Dr. Moon is a firm advocate for freedom of speech and the U.S. constitutional rights. She said that she's going to share tonight are not necessarily anything to do with her previous employers or any other people she worked with, but she's very concerned about what she's seen in this country with the jab mandates and a whole lot more than that, the transgender movement to take our children as young as 4 years old and start on the road to a different sex. This is happening right now in America. Dr. Renata Moon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Oh, honey, it's our pleasure. It really is. I'm excited to meet you. I know, I mean, on the phone anyway, on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm excited to have you come on. And I want you, please, to make yourself at home and share what's on your heart and mind tonight. But tell the folks a little bit about who you are and what you've done and how you got involved, how you become awake to what's happening.
Yeah, thanks so much. I do have to just repeat my disclaimer for a minute, and that's that my views are my own, my experiences are my own, and I'm not here speaking on behalf of any employer or any organization. So I grew up here in America. I was born to parents who, like you said, legally immigrated to the United States, and I was so lucky to have been born here. My parents, they fled from communism, and I think we need to take a step for a minute and just understand what that means. You know, they left their entire family behind. They left my aunts and uncles, grandparents, everybody behind, because where they lived under communism, it was just so awful. They couldn't stay. They were afraid for their lives. And they came to America, just the two of them, to build a new life, like so many millions of immigrants have done, you know, over a long period of time. They came here for a better life. And what I've seen happening in America the last, you know, really honestly the last number of years, but especially over the last 2 to 3 years, has just been everything my parents warned me about growing up that I never thought would be possible here in America. And yet it's happening before our eyes. And so I'm speaking out.
Well, when your parents first got here, were they pleased or shocked at what they saw?
You know, let me step back a little bit. When they fled from their country, they were in trouble because they hadn't come back to their nation. They were living behind a barbed wire electrified fence with watchtowers, submachine guns, guards. I saw it when I was 11, and I went into the country as an 11-year-old
How did you get out? How did you get out, doctor?
So a lot of people got out, you know, by running through the fence and hoping they wouldn't be shot, or by taking hot air balloons, you know, over the fence, or they would try to dig under. My mom said that she actually took a job purposely near the border so she could check out the fence, and she said she was debating what should she do to get out of there. She said she had guards that were watching her the whole time she was working near the border, and she could have, you know, said she had to use the ladies' room behind a bush and had a few minutes to flee, but she was sure they would have shot her.
They didn't have restrooms? No restrooms?
No. Well, not
really?
When she was out working in the field.
Right, she was out working in the field.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay,
go ahead. Of course, they had restrooms, but she was out working in the field. So she didn't think she could do that. So what they did was they were married, but they would never let a married couple leave together because they would not come back. And so with special permission, if you were able to somehow get it to be done, with special permission, they would let one person leave because they knew they would come back for their spouse or their kids or whatever. And they took advantage of the fact that they didn't have computers in those days. So my dad applied for special permission in one part of the country. My mom applied for special permission in the other part of the country. And they just prayed that no one would figure it out. And so they were both granted special permission, you know, their employers not knowing that that the other one had it, you know, granted to them. And they were both able to get out for just a very temporary work visit to Austria, actually. But the story, as it goes, that their car actually broke down right on the border. So they almost didn't make it out because the car broke down. The guards actually had to push them out. It was one of those old-fashioned three-wheeled cars that they used to make. They had three wheels.
Right.
So they pushed them out, and they were free, and then they simply never came back. But when they didn't come back, the communists came after the rest of their family. So they came after my grandparents. They came after the immediate family. But they didn't know that they were planning to, they didn't know my parents were planning to escape. And so they were honest when they told the guards they didn't know anything about it. And ultimately they didn't, you know, they didn't imprison them or do anything. But so they were able to get out. But once they were out, they had to apply. So you had to, in those days, be vetted. And you had to apply. So they applied for the ability to immigrate to Canada, to Australia, and to America.
Well, that's changed. That has changed. Mm-hmm. That has changed.
Oh, that's changed completely. But don't let anyone tell you they weren't vetted, because they were very much vetted. They had to promise that they wouldn't be a burden on society in America, that they would assimilate here, that they would love our country if they came, that they wouldn't be a burden on society. And,
wow.
You know, they did all those things.
Now, when was this? How many years ago was this?
This was in the early 1960s. Yeah, early 1960s.
Oh, my. Have things changed since then? My goodness.
Yeah. Yes,
so,
yeah.
So when it came out, what did the authorities do to the rest of your family whenever they found out they were going?
Well, they actually tried my mom in her absence. They charged her with the crime of not having returned to her country. So she was found guilty, and in her absence, by then she was here in America, and she was a proud American, but they found her guilty of not having returned to her nation in which she'd been held a prisoner. And my grandfather actually attended the hearing. He said she was charged and I forget what the word is, but she was assigned 18 months of hard labor camp prison if they were ever to catch her. But of course, they would never be able to catch her. But afterwards, it was what happened afterwards that really I remember from the story. After the judge ruled against her and sentenced her to 18 months in prison for not having come back to her nation, for having fled her nation, that was her crime, was for having fled. The judge actually quietly came up to my grandfather afterwards, and he said to my grandfather, he said, where is she? My grandfather said, she's in America. And the judge looked at him, and he said, tell her we wish her well. Like, the judge was caught up, the judge was caught up in the system, too, where they were so trapped by the rules of this tyrannical, totalitarian system that they lived under. That, you know, the judge wished that he was my mom. He was jealous.
Wow.
He wished that he had escaped, too. But by then, the shackles were on so tight that no one could flee from this, because they were all, you know, imprisoned together. No one would rise together to fight the system. It was too tight. Everything was too, they were too imprisoned. Yeah.
Too controlled. So they come over in the 60s. And I'm sure they found work here, went to work, and raised a family. And of course, you were one of them. So when they first got here, what did they think of the country?
Oh, they told me stories. They were so in love with America, and continued to be throughout their time in America. I so lucky. I was born in the late 60s, and I grew up as a child who fully understood what freedom means and, you know, what America means. We are so lucky to be living in America, where we can be free, where we can drive from one location to another and not have to show our papers to somebody, where we can you know, go from one village to another, one town to another, and not have to show a stamp from the police to say, hey, it's okay for us to be there. You know, their movements weren't restricted. Their ability to work at a job wasn't restricted. You know, we were only restricted as Americans by what our dreams were. We could be whatever our dreams and our hard work, you know, led us to. And so we really, I grew up with this vision and this, I don't think it was a vision, it was just the reality that America was this amazing place where we could be whatever we worked hard to be.
And six decades later, look where we are now.
Yeah, it's hard to watch, but, you know, when my parents came here, they worked hard. They both had college degrees from Europe, but they couldn't prove that they had college degrees because when they fled, they couldn't take their papers across the border with them. They were only going for a short trip, right?
Right.
So they can't bring their college papers. So until my grandma smuggled them out for them in a down comforter, they didn't have any ability to prove that they had college degrees. But my parents worked. The first jobs they had here, they worked. My dad worked for a horse farm, mucking out horse stalls because it was work, and he was so happy to do it.
And where did he move to?
My mom.
They moved to
California. California,
okay.
Actually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The worst state in the country.
And my godmother.
Ahead.
Yeah, but then it wasn't. The lady who ultimately became my godmother was the lady that was her sponsor, and she took them in for just a short period of time. They lived with her and her family. She helped them, you know, figure out the paperwork and help them learn some English. And as quickly as they could, they moved out, you know, on their own. They never actually went on welfare or took any government money.
That is so foreign today. That is so foreign to our thoughts today.
Yeah.
Bless their hearts. So your mommy did what when she got here? What kind of work did your mommy do?
She actually worked as a cleaning lady, which was great. She had her college degree, but again, couldn't prove it. So she worked as a cleaning lady until the papers came. And once their college degree papers were able to come with, again, my grandma smuggling them out, then both my parents actually went to graduate school. And they both earned their PhDs here in America. And my dad became a professor of forestry. My mom earned her PhD in animal nutrition. And they both worked in those fields for their careers, but initially took whatever job was available because it was work, and so happy to be here.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So when did they start seeing a change come and then start get concerned?
You know, I think I saw the change about the same time my mom did, and we both began to see it right around 2010, somewhere in that range. And what I saw was that I remember standing in my living room one day, and I like to watch the news at night, at least I did when it was news. And I remember standing there, and I was flipping back and forth between one of the mainstream channels and BBC, which at the time, BBC was telling us more news than our own channels were.
That's very true.
And I just stood there, and I flipped between BBC that was telling me real news, and then back to the mainstream, and it was mostly social garbage. You know, stuff that was on, you know, some of the social magazines, but not really news anymore. And I remember standing there just flipping back and forth between the two channels and thinking, oh my goodness, this is not good. This is not good. But it wasn't really until the propaganda began to hit very hard in, you know, 2014, 2016, as President Trump came into office. You know, this propaganda that we're seeing in our news, again, I first saw it in 2010, but I for sure was seeing it by 2014, 2016. It was nothing but propaganda. And I had visited my parents' former country as an 11-year-old. I had stood in my grandmother's living room with her and listened very quietly to the voice of America, which was piping in the truth to my relatives under the communist system. My grandma was like, shh, you have to be very quiet because the neighbors can't hear us listening to this. I heard what the propaganda was that my relatives were subjected to. They didn't know what the truth was. It was smoke and mirrors. And to see that happening here in our country with our mainstream media in 2014, 2016, 2018, just building and building and building, it's been a nightmare watching this unfold. Yeah.
Wow. That is, yeah. That's phenomenal. You know, I can't imagine. I mean, I am shook to the core of what I've seen. I've lived here for 74 years, and I've watched this the country deteriorate vastly quickly. It seemed like when it started down the road to deterioration, it picked up speed. I mean, every day picked up more speed till it got to where we are today, and we're not even done yet. So, with what you're seeing now, when they come out with the jab and they're going to make it mandatory. Now, you're a health care worker. How did you handle that?
I'm a pediatrician, and I have spent, for better or for worse, I have spent my entire career working hard, doing my best for patients, and I have been a supporter of traditional childhood vaccines. I trusted my regulatory agencies. I trusted them in large part because I saw them working. Back when I first started practice, I saw them pull products and vaccines from the market for safety concerns that were nothing compared to the safety concerns that we were seeing with the COVID-19 shots. And so I'm not someone who's been anti-vax. I've been a supporter of traditional childhood vaccines. But when this mandate rolled out for the COVID-19 genetic shots, I just honestly, I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, we are in America. We did have freedom. How can we possibly be forcing Americans to take a shot that has no long-term studies, has highly concerning short-term studies, frankly, has people who have had horrible things happen to them as a result of taking it. At that point, we knew that things were happening that shouldn't have been happening safety-wise. We had safety signals going off like crazy, and yet we were mandating this. And my employer mandated this for me and for my, you know, people were having it mandated in my state. I'm from a Western state, so I was on the forefront of what was happening here in America. And I thought to myself, there is no way in this world that I am taking part in a mandate like this. My family did not flee political persecution from behind communism so that they could come here, so their daughter could be forced into taking something under a mandate, or so she could become one of the people that was going to force others to take something without their free will under a mandate. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. So I refused to tell my employer my vaccine status. I said, I'm not going to tell you my vaccine status. My family fled from a country where they had to show their papers. And you're asking me to show my papers here. I said, we know at this point that this shot does not stop an infection. It doesn't stop the spread of this infection. It doesn't stop transmission. So you have no right to tell an individual person what they have to do with their own health care. You just don't. It doesn't keep me from being, you know, it doesn't prevent me from transmitting this to a patient should I catch COVID. If I get sick with a cough and cold, I will still have to isolate. This doesn't stop me from, you know, potentially spreading this to a patient. So you have no right to tell any of us what we have to do with our own health care. So I refused to show my papers.
What was the response? What did they say?
The response was, after I failed to turn in my vaccine papers, the response that same evening was, you are no longer allowed to come into clinic. You are no longer allowed to see patients. We have pulled you from clinic until you comply and you show us your vaccine papers. And I had a fully booked clinic. I was booked for 4 weeks out. My patients have no idea where I went. I was perfectly healthy. They just disappeared me from my clinic. Poof, disappeared, gone.
Oh, my.
Patients never saw me again. This was during a pandemic where there was a physician shortage and where they kept saying they need more doctors, but they pulled me. So it was easy for me. I said, I'm never going to comply with your tyranny. I sent them a letter. I don't think they liked my letter, but I sent them a very strong letter saying that this is tyrannical. This is government overreach. This is everything my family fled from. And I'm not taking part in this. And so they gave me 2 months to comply, which I didn't do. And then they fired me. So I was fired by communists for my failure to comply with tyranny.
And what did you do? I mean, I know you had to make a living doing something. Was it tough to survive that without your income and your work?
Yeah, they still need doctors and there are other employers and there's still plenty of patients out there who need care. So I've been fortunate.
So you found, okay.
To,
Okay, great.
I went elsewhere, but I will not ever practice for that employer again. And I do think that I was doing this not on behalf of just myself. I was doing this on behalf of every single American, whether they had the
Absolutely.
Vaccine
I agree.
Or not. We all need to stand up to tyranny, and this is what this was, plain and simple, full-on tyranny right here in America. Yeah.
Well, I know you've seen the results of these jabs in adults and children now, haven't you?
I have direct knowledge of way too many cases of problems related to these injections, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are ignoring the safety signals.
Yes.
Our government regulatory agencies are ignoring the safety signals. I've never seen safety signals alarm like they are with this product, meaning that people are going to the effort of reporting what's happened to their loved ones into these systems. I have met families who have lost their lovely, amazing children, whether they be children or young adults, from these injections. How can you say otherwise when you meet these families? And, you know, the younger a patient is, the younger they are and the healthier they are, the more easy it is for us to see when there's a problem with a product. You know, they received an injection, and within a week and a half to a few days or a week afterwards, some of them have died. This is outrageous, you know, and then they've had an autopsy with autopsy-proven heart inflammation that we know is caused by this shot. How can our government be ignoring this? There is only one answer to that, and that is that they know. They know.
Of course
they and
know.
So it's horrifying what's happening to people. And, you know, thankfully, there are many people who have had this shot and have been okay, and I'm thankful for that. We're all grateful for that. But we have had way too many of our own citizens around the world and here within America that have not fared so well with these shots for whatever reason.
I feel certain a lot of those shots were placebos. I don't think they give everybody the vaccine. I think they're doing a test, I think you say, experiment. So many of them got placebos, so they're fine. But the ones who got the real shot, a lot of them are sick now. What has been the leading cause of death you've seen after the vax with the children? What's been the leading cause of death for the children?
You know, I have a number of families that I know their children have had the myocarditis, which is a heart inflammation. A number of them have had fatalities from the myocarditis. There is a wonderful gentleman out there whose son passed away within 5 days of his shot from autopsy-proven myocarditis. He had no symptoms until he simply died while playing basketball. And that has never been, you know, our government has never answered that. Their answer to this is that they want us to shut up. They want us to be quiet. They've threatened us. They've come after licenses. They've come after people's credentials. I will not be shut up. The thousands of other physicians who are speaking out will not be shut up. We need
Hang on through the break, please, doctor. Yes. Folks, back at the break with your phone calls, comments. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. A lot more talk about it, a lot more questions. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best unstable foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
And on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back. You're talking to Dr. Renata Moon, and you're hearing the story. And, folks, we're going to change gears a minute and go in a different direction. But I want you to understand the lines are open at 844-769-2944. Love to hear from you. I know this information night is very important to us. And I know I lived in the country for a long time, almost three-quarters of a century. I've seen the change come, but she saw it. Her mom saw it and realized it probably before most of us did, because she lived in it before. Now she's seeing the same trend today. And Dr. Renata is right on. Whenever you have a nation that can make you take a jab, but they know it's actually harming people, or lose your job, or whatever it may be, or force your children to take the jab and watch them suffer and die, when they can make you do that, you are not a sovereign, free individual. You're not. No point in killing yourself, folks. You're not. And I'm afraid it's going to go around again sometime. We're going to have another pandemic in the very near future, I do believe, because people start getting their eyes open a little bit on some things. They have to scare us back into the cage. So another pandemic, perhaps. And by the way, doctor, maybe you didn't know this, but starting, I think, the first this month, next month, they're going to start giving the COVID jab to all the beef cattle and on the hogs and all that. So all the meats could be vaccinated with the COVID jab. You still there, doctor?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to start giving all the livestock the COVID jab.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. So interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's very true. They said we're going to do it some months ago, but I thought, gee, I don't think they go that far. I should have known better. They're going to do it. They're actually, folks, you check it out for yourself. It's not hard to find online. You can find it. Now, being a pediatrician, obviously you love children. I mean, that is a special calling. And being a doctor, I don't care what kind of doctor you are, is a calling. It should be. If not a calling, it shouldn't be one, because this is like being a pastor. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because you care for people. And I know that's part of the calling you had. Now that you're seeing this country turn into what it's become, into a totally immoral, insane, confused country, where we now have children in the kindergarten being told they can change sexes, and actually have California's going to make it, has already passed a law that if a child wants to come to California and have sex change, they get to go there, they get immunity there, they can stay there, and against their parents' wishes, they'll take care of them and help them change their sexes. They can go there and not be shipped back. They don't have to go back home. Now, that's what we're seeing in the country today. What do you see happening in your profession now, along with this trans baloney?
Yeah, well, they've come after our nation's kids, and that's not too surprising, because this idea of how you bring a nation down, like ours, how you bring America down, those ideas have been out there for quite some time, you know, since my mom was in high school. She was actually taught in high school how to bring down a nation like ours, and obviously she's here because she loves being an American and fled from that, but the idea was that you cause a breakdown in family values, you cause a breakdown in the family structure, you cause chaos and division, you take over the media, you know, all these types of things that are playing out. And so what's happening right now with our children's health, our children's mental health, is horrible. They, I think, came at us with social media, which was the first way in which they targeted our nation's children. And starting in about 2014, we began to see so many children filling up our emergency rooms with suicidal thoughts and with depression and anxiety and self-harm.
What was the cause? What do you think the main cause for that was?
I think it was social media. I do. I think there was a lot of intentional disruption to our kids' lives in their social media platforms. You look at some of these apps that our kids are looking at, and they're so inappropriate, right? They're teaching them to talk back and to be sassy and to, you know, to want to become things that they cannot ever become. And they're just very disruptive, you know, towards one another. And I think it was intentional. Someone created these apps, and they intentionally did it in a way to harm us. And so our nation's kids began to pile up in our emergency room. And then this pandemic hit, and with all the social isolation measures, we were seeing so many depressed and anxious kids. I just didn't have enough spots in the day to get them into my clinic. I mean, kids coming in just tearful and haven't seen my friends in, you know, months because we're isolated and having to wear masks. And, you know, they just became so, so horribly traumatized by what was happening to them. And in all of this, the transgender movement began to grow. I also think is an intentional disruption of our children's lives because,
of course,
look,
of
they're
course.
Young. They're young. They're impressionable. They want to do what all their friends are doing. And it got to the point in my clinic where I was having a number of kids coming in who wanted to transition their sex. And I would say to them, well, you know, this isn't a simple process. This involves surgery, and it involves hormones that you have to take the rest of your life. And I said, why do you want to do this? And many of them would say, well, because my one friend so-and-so is transgender, and my other friend is gender questioning. And, you know, it was clear they just wanted to fit in with the crowd. And so some studies now are showing that up to 20 to 30% of our nation's kids identify as gender questioning, which is honestly just a fad. It's a trend, but it's a dangerous trend when we have a medical system that is ready to move them along in that process without realizing that they need counseling and they need love and they need support and they need to understand that this is not something that one just does because one wants to fit in with their friend. And
well, you know,
sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We just reached such a crisis point with this. And I've honestly had families of children as young as 3 and 4 years old come into the office. They have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old that they have gender converted. And they have assured me, oh, doctor, don't worry. You know, Billy has made up his own mind. I'm making up the name Billy.
My.
But But, you know, Billy being a completely healthy and beautiful and normal biological girl, like, there's Billy's not a boy, Billy's a girl. But the parents have decided they're converting this child. The horrors of what we're seeing right now, I just don't even have words right now.
Well, those parents are the problem then. But I call it the public school system, my school system today, has played a huge part in this, that ever since 1963, and they quit, so-called took the prayer out of school. They separated God from morals. When I grew up and went to school with the Ten Commandments hung on the wall of the school, with the rules of the school, and that's what we basically lived by. That was the moral laws, our mandates how to live. And now that's been taken away. And, folks, it didn't take long for this to actually manifest to where it is today. Once you take God out of anything, it's bound to rot from the inside out.
That's true.
That's what's happening right now. And I know this isn't pleasant. That doesn't change the facts. It isn't pleasant. I know that. But it does not change the truth. Now, we'll get the phone calls in a minute, folks. Barry, we'll get Chris and all of you in a second. So how do you handle it? I mean, if the parents insist they want this done, what do you do?
Well, I personally believe that, look, we have to understand that they're playing on the sympathetic good kindness of the average American when they have done this to purposely disrupt our nation and to harm our nation's children. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we all want to be kind and caring and supportive of the really, really, really rare child who truly has a gender questioning or gender dysphoria issue. But that child is so rare. I practiced for over 20 years and saw no children like that. Actually, I had one back in the late 1990s. I had one child. And so in 20 years, I had one in my very busy practice until recently when the floodgates have just opened with this. But they're playing on our sympathy because no one wants to be mean to a child and say, you know, we don't support you. We don't believe you. That's not what this is about. This is about, we have to understand that this is a system that has been purposely introduced into our society to harm our nation's kids. And we need to say no. We need to say, if you are an adult and if you choose to do something on your own will, then I personally, as a pediatrician, am not going to speak to that. But when you are a child and you are caught up in the craziest trend that I have ever seen in our nation, we are not going to allow anyone to mutilate your body physically or to harm you with medications that you don't need. You have a perfectly beautiful, healthy body. What you need is counseling and love and support, and we're going to help you get through that, just like the Scandinavian countries are doing. They have said no to the medications and the surgeries.
Amen.
And here in America, we're rolling out clinics to do that.
We are. You know? And even Russia said no. This is true. But the point of it is this, too. If the parents are that ignorant or evil that they actually think a four-year-old can make a decision on what they want to be, those parents are, in my mind, mentally ill. There's something
wrong. They're caught up in something here, and they're making the wrong choices. And I don't for a minute believe that most parents wish harm on their children. Most of them don't. But in this case, take a look at a beautiful, healthy child in front of you, whether it's a male or a female, and then take a look at a child who has had this physical surgery. Mutilating surgery.
Yes.
And tell me how that boy has turned into a girl or that girl has turned into a boy. It is impossible. We have done nothing but harm this child physically. Take a look at the photos. Take a look at what has happened and tell me that child doesn't have the right to be left alone when they're children and to make that decision when they're a fully functioning adult. And, you know, the mental harm, the physical harm that we're causing these children who are literally caught up in this crazy trend right now, we can't ever fix it. Once the damage has been done, we can't fix it.
And the suicide rate in that group is really tremendously
high. That's correct.
It's so sad.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call. Yeah. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Chris. Chris, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
That's good. And thanks for the information on the food. That is really some article. Nobody out there get that. Please get that. But I am so honored that we're having somebody really taking a step up and really taking a stand, because when you talk about the children, here our Governor Beshear here vetoed a bill about the transgender for underage kids.
Right, right,
immediately.
Right. Right.
And we had them all up there protesting at the Capitol, and there's some of them were demonic dressed, and it was just a sight to see what was going on. But we have to really, this is all about eugenics. They want to deal away with the population, and the globalists of the New World Order want to take control of us. And you were talking about the vaccines earlier. I never took one. I hesitated back in the mid-70s when there was first SARS came out, when 1,500 of them were bad. You couldn't even, they took them off the market.
Right.
Even Mary, actress, yeah. Remember actress Mary Tyler Moore said, do not take
right.
that when she
right.
was interviewed?
Right, right.
But guess look, the changes today, look what they're doing. Let's just take it anyway. Just keep putting this massive mind control cult through the media, the internet, and propaganda, like you were saying, has gotten
yeah.
was so bad. And because yeah. you know, I was going to tell you, guess my grandmother fled the Weimar era just before Nazi Germany was. You know, she came to
yeah.
America. I know what exactly. This, you just get to think of my grandmother, because my grandmother went through this when she thought she came here free after we had, she saw changes in the 60s, 70s, and here we go again with more wars. I bet, you know, it's
yeah.
breaks my heart. It really does. But we are going to have to really take a stand, and I want to appreciate you and thank you so much for taking a stand. And more doctors, if you're out there listening, join us, okay? Let's come together and take a stand against this. The government is not our bosses. We are. They
Amen.
Do what we tell them to do.
Amen. Supposed to. That's
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And not a single one of us is more important than the other person. We're all in this together. We all need to speak out. And we all need to be loud. And we're also used to being politically correct constantly. We need to be really loud about this. This is our future.
Amen. And our children's
future.
Absolutely. Thanks
yes,
for the call.
Our
appreciate
children and grandchildren.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. That's a good call.
Thank
good
you.
Points.
Thank you.
Let's go to Georgia and talk to Jim. Jim, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm doing fine, Jim. How you doing?
I'm better than people in North Korea.
okay.
Yeah.
you may use that, too. I've been using it for 20 years.
Okay.
It'll astonish some and shock the rest and impress the other ones. Okay. Well, my family fled the Portuguese Inquisition about in the 1700s. Okay, and made their way to England and from there to the Savannah colony. But let me ask a question. I might have missed something earlier in the program. Can you tell me what country you fled? I'm just out of curiosity. It sounded like either East Germany or Czechoslovakia.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think we mentioned that. Yeah, I was born here in America, but my parents fled from the former Czechoslovakia. That's correct.
Okay, I was going to say either Czech or or Eastern Germany. I'm in the medical field myself. I'm a paramedic, and I no longer ride the ambulances. I take the psychiatric patients from the ER to the hospital. The psychiatric yeah. hospital overnight now. In Georgia, we call it a 1013, okay? They're in three-day uh-huh. custody. And I've had a couple of these people on the van. One of them was like a 30-year-old man the other night. I want to point out, these people get violent when you don't call them by the proper pronoun, I guess. And one night I told the one that was about 30, 35 years old, I said, look, I'm the only one that cares enough about you not to feed into this delusion of yours. And you want to do this at home with your family, or you want to do it at a venue where they practice this kind of stuff, I'm good with that, but don't expect the general public to go along with it. He wanted to step outside and fight, and I said, okay. And the only reason we didn't go out there is the people at the facility wouldn't open the door for us to do it. So I want to point out if you want to get into the spiritual aspect of it, I think these people are under the influence of demons. And I say that because I had one a long time ago when I was on an ambulance. I actually read the Bible to him. He was a 16-year-old kid. We were transporting to a facility because they wouldn't do his surgery. I think some doctor said, wait a minute, we're going to stop, we're going to slow down, we're going to take a look at this. So I read the Bible to him about 10 minutes later, this demon manifested in him. He started squealing like a pig, contorted face.
Wow.
So,
No doubt that's true. No doubt that's true. I have no doubt.
I read a psalm to him, and whatever it was inside him couldn't stand to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
Amazing.
Well, you know, I applaud you for doing this, Doctor. But the only thing that's going to change this is a national outcry to God and repentance, and I just don't see it happening. And I don't think you do either, do you, Pastor?
No, I don't. I really wish I could say differently, but I can't say differently. And be honest, I can't. And thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Jump. All right. Bye bye.
What a good call. Thank you. Folks, lines are open. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And, Doctor, what the road we're on right now and what you see happening, as so quickly happening.
Yeah.
What, I don't know how you word this. What are we going to face next? Mm-hmm. I mean, now we have literally have the trans perverts, the transgenders, talking about taking up lethal force against those of us who oppose them. It happened in Nashville just a few days ago. But we have a press secretary in Arizona showing a picture of a lady with two pistols in her hands, and it's time to take it out on the bigots. I forget who it was. Mine went blank on this. Another high office lady showed a picture of a grandma with an AK-47 and said, we're going after the bigots. They're literally showing violence towards anyone who opposes them. Now, if the shoe were another foot, we showed violence, we'd be in jail. But they're actually showing violence, and it really bothers me because I know in my heart I can see it coming, and I'm not proclaiming to be an ancient prophet, but I can see what's coming from what's happening in the country. If we don't get this turned around pretty soon, we're going to go to a civil war, and not between states as far as North and South and all this type of thing. We're going to go between moral issues, maybe even races. God forbid that's going to happen. We're seeing forced conflict in California. You're going to start paying reparations to black folks whose great great grandparents were slaves, and other people don't want to tolerate that because they're going to have to pay it. They're forcing a confrontation, and I think you see that happening too.
Yeah, like the rest of the listeners, I'm sure we don't know what's going to happen next, right? We're all waiting to see. But I do think it's important right now that people realize that we are not powerless. We need to speak out. And at this point, it's so important that those who understand what's happening speak to the neighbors and friends and even the lost family, but the people that will listen and help them understand that this is, you know, this whole thing is pitting neighbor versus neighbor, citizen versus citizen, when really our attention needs to be focused on the bigger picture and how they're trying to imprison all of us, right?
That's
the cage
what
is descending around all
that's
of us while we all battle each other. So they're trying to distract us with these situations when really we all need to be turning to look at the main enemy, which are the lockdowns and the people that are intending to fully entrap us. And, you know, it sounds like a conspiracy theorist thing, except for those of us who are
not
paying attention, right?
No.
It's clearly not. It's happening worldwide. It's happening in all the different continents, and it's clearly happening in lockstep. And so we need to wake everybody up and help them realize this is not vaccinated versus unvaccinated. This is not whether you are supportive of the transgender movement or not supportive of it, that those issues can be figured out later as a nation. Right now, it's about the very freedom of our entire nation, all of us, because they're coming after all of us. And we need to understand that and help people see through the smoke and mirrors mess that we're in through the propaganda and help them understand what's happening.
Well, I will say
so
this.
Everyone has a role in that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
yeah.
We do. And I will say this right up front. Without a moral basis, you cannot live as an individual. Without a moral basis, you can't live as a family. You can't hold a family together. So how are you going to hold a country together without morality being a common bond? It isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
It isn't going to happen. We have stores now, different stores, like around Portland, Oregon, Walmart, Target, Cracker Barrel. They're closing businesses because they're stealing so bad in that area, they can't stay in business.
Yeah. America's been in tough situations before, And we're obviously in a very tough situation right now. And there are many of us. We cannot forget that we actually have the majority in our nation who are like-minded people. We all need to get involved with this. I hear from too many people who say, you know, I would help, but my kids have a soccer game, or I have to go.
This is
on your doorstep. This is on all of our doorsteps right now. And how we behave right now and what we help with right now is going to influence how your children and your grandchildren live. And there's nothing that is more important right now than you getting the word out to everyone who will listen. And make them listen, have them listen, do whatever it takes to explain to them what's happening. There are a number of people out there who are just really confused right now and who just need someone to help them understand what's happening. Your eyes are open. You understand what's happening. Help your neighbors understand, because we're at that point. We're at this pivotal point in U.S. history where we have to get this right, or future generations are going to live terribly, terribly. So that's where we are. I don't for a minute think we're defeated. We have God on our side, and I don't think for a minute we're defeated. We just look very bleak right now, but we are Americans. Stand up straight, puff ourselves out, and let's get to work, because we got a lot of work to do.
We do have a lot of work to do, and I do know no matter what happens, our God's still in charge. I do know that there are sins in the Bible that when you cross them, there's no return. I'm afraid we've already done that. But, you know, you've heard the old story about Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Once the lid's open, you can't get it back on. Well, if we would have nipped this in the bud, so to speak, like Barney Fife, you say, on Andy Griffith, nipped it in the bud when it first started, we may have stopped it. But we've let it go for so long now that these people actually think they have a right. They actually think that we're infringing on their rights to maim their children or pervert the children's minds with the drag queen show. They actually think this is a right. I mean, we've let this get to the point now where it's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
You know?
We did, but look, there still are more of us than there are. There are more of us than there are of them.
If the people speak up quietly,
they have to speak up. Now is the time. You have to speak up. This is it. It's on your doorstep. We all have to speak up together. We're all in this together. And so I think to a certain extent, it had to get bad so people would see it too.
I pray that it turns around. I pray that it does. It used to be a sentence where you typed. It was a sentence where you typed in typing class. Now is the time for all good men to come to aid the country. I remember that sentence. But we're down about the last few seconds. Dr. Moon, thank you so much. I'll be in touch
in the
future because I want to talk to your mama sometime too, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And God
you're welcome, honey.
Nation.
God bless you, what you're doing.
Thank you.
Hang in there, okay? You hang in there.
Thank you.
Okay.
You as well. Everybody out of.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Folks, we're flat out of time tonight, and I want to thank you for being tonight. Don't forget, we'll not be in office Thursday. I won't be here tomorrow night, but you won't miss me at all. We'll be back with you next week. Y'all have a great rest of the week. Folks, she's right. Get involved. Stand up, speak up, and do something for the glory of God for the sake of your children. See you soon. Bye-bye.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.